Today is the 25th, July 2017, Tuesday. So we now get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sada, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa Budang Bhagawantang Abhiwademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipano Bhagavato Sakasango Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Oh, someone bring come, you can offer that. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of your chanting book. We will commence the vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana ramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kame sumichachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya pamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Patipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina ติโลกาติปังสัมพุทธังตุจายามิตะโมนุดังกันเดสัมบรายุเทนะโดเปนาหังสุกังหินะปูจายิปูจานิยังตังปูจาบาจานะมุตเตมังวันนากันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันทธินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาทะสารโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนาเชโหทุโมคังปุปังมิลายติยตาอิทังเมกายโยตตายติวินาสภาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเทปานิยังปริกาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาทุโมทมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเทปาเลปริกาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาทุโมทมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทโบจานังปริกาภิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาทุโมทมัง Now we are chanting puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offeringSignificance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind, to help arise the clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of pure, clear, cool water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool waterLead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue.Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely drive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them.Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Gem. Padang Pujami. Dhammang Pucemi. Sanghang Pucemi. Okay, you can be seated, then we can have our meditation. We can have about 35 minutes, today got more time. We are off the light, then you can start your meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you just relax, silent, then develop the meditation. For those who still need to train the mind, you go ahead. Whether you use whatever skillful means or object of meditation to help you decondition your headless thinking. For that, you can use our usual mind sweeping method, followed by metta. Then after that, stabilize the silent mind or meditative mind using anapanasati. Mindfulness of the in and out breath. Just relax into everything, then maintain silent awareness. The mind that is trained can meditate easily. Just relax, silent, no need to do anything. Whatever thought arises, let it arise. If you don't give it any more energy, thought energy, it will cease to be. The acceptance of all activity, movement and phenomena will bring about the quiet mind, the peaceful mind, the tranquil, still and silent mind. And that is the meditative mind. And that is the mind that you have to stabilize. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about 30 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We'll do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heavenly release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chirakawalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato. Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampano sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati sat Tabdeva manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehipaseko opanayiko Pachyatam veditato vinoheti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atha purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaniyo anutarang punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us be respectful to Triple Gem. Vedang Pujemi Dhammang pujemi ังหังปุจเจมิโอเค you can be seated then we will continue with our Dhamma discussion on the Buddha and his teaching we are at page 45 turn to page 45In the three greatest men in history, H.G. Wells states, In the Buddha you see clearly a man, simple, devout, lonely, battling for life, a vivid human personality, not a myth. He too gave a message to mankind, universal in character. Many of our best modern ideas are in closest harmony with it.All the miseries and discontent of life are due, he thought, to selfishness. Before a man can become serene, he must cease to live in to live for his senses or himself. Then he merges into a greater being. Buddhism, in different language, call man.To self-forgetfulness 500 years before Christ. In some way, he was nearer to us and our needs. He was more lucid upon our individual importance in service than Christ ever, and less ambiguous upon the question ofpersonal immortality. So this is the comment by the author H.G. Wells. How many of you can remember this author? When we were in our secondary school, I think you heard of this H.G. Wells, very famous author. What did he write about? He liked to write about? You haven't heard of H.G. Wells?Yes, very good. Vincent also know. Time travel, yeah, he wrote about the time machine. And he also liked to write about friction, about space travel and all those things, then extraterrestrial. So he's a very famous author. If I'm not wrong, the time machine at that time he postulated.You know what is a time machine? Can take you back in time to see the history. You know how it works? You don't know. You want to know? So a time machine is a machine that can travel faster than the speed of light. You understand? You can travel faster than the speed of light.What scientists believe in is this light rays. Of course, during night time, you cannot see what happened. In the daytime, if this light is reflected, then it goes out, not blocked or obstructed. Then it will go all the way out because when it's out of the Earth atmosphere, it will continue to travel. That if you travel faster than the speed of light, you will be able to see all of the what they call history behind. Because this light particle that travel out at that time, you will be able to catch up with them. So this is what they call time machine. And you cannot blame them because that time our understanding of science was so backward. So they believe with a time machine,you can see your past. But that one, not much use. What is more useful is the technology on telescope. They keep on improving it until now is more and more powerful. Even this Hubble telescope that used to be the largest and the most powerful at one time the world has ever had. Now already taken over by many other of these very powerful telescope. I don't know by what name, I don't know. But I know China is doing one very big one. I tell you, if that one is ready, it can probe much, much further. So we are in an era where I think you can witness a lot of very beautiful things. If you live long enough, yeah, maybe another 20 years, yeah, you will get to witness a lot of very, very amazing things, fantastic things. But for those who are older, don't be disappointed, because you can also come back, provided you know how to come back. If you choose to come, no problem. But you have to come, hopefully you come to the right place, and born as a right form of mind, with the understanding and other things. That's why this particular civilization of ours, our planet Earth, is very unique. And now you read back even all this book, this Buddhist, so-called the Buddha and his teaching. You read back at what the author write. This was written, I think, in the year 1964, the first edition. How many years already? 50 over years. And you look at the thing they write, it's already a lot are so behind time. The idea that is expressed all is already behind time. The only thing that is not behind time is the Buddha's teaching. But we haven't come to the Buddha's teaching, that's the problem. We only read about his life history. Then slowly, I think we are going into it soon. The first discourse is coming after this. We are almost there already. Chapter 5, the invitation to expound the Dhamma. So hopefully today we finish this chapter 4. Then we can have some interesting Dhamma topic. Okay, I read on. The poet Tagore. Call him the greatest man ever born, in admiration of the Buddha. How do you pronounce this word? Fosbor. Who knows how to pronounce Danish name? A Danish scholar. We assume it's correct. Fosbor. He said, the more I know him, the more I love him. A Danish, say that. Then a humble follower of the Buddha would modestly say, the more I know him, the more I love him. The more I love him, the more I know him. Oh, these are the various expressions. Oh, sorry, just now we chapter 3. Now only chapter 4, okay. Chapter 4 is after the enlightenment. Okay. Happy in this world is non-attachment. So this is a very beautiful saying. Can you understand this sentence or not? Is it happy by not having any attachment? Now as Buddhists, you talk to the worldly people. Don't have attachment. In this world, how can you not have attachment? They say, I love my wife so much. I love my children so much. You must be mad if you don't have this type of attachment. So people who don't have wisdom, they will think otherwise. And sometimes you cannot blame them because they couldn't understand the reality of life and existence. They didn't understand, finally it will lead to suffering. Because the basic cause of suffering is what? Attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, born of delusion. But you have to understand this statement clearly. Does it mean you cannot love somebody? It's not that. The meaning is very deep. You can love. You can give everything that you want. Then you can have the life, the joy, the what they call happiness while with them, living the true, what they call life. You will be able to live the life of joy, beauty, serenity, understanding, peacefulness, and all those things. And you can really, really have good life. The only thing you need is wisdom, understanding, that they are all condition arising, causal phenomena, not what you think. Even your own form and mind is not you. But it is something that is so beautifully created through karma. It is part of your karmic inheritance. That's why you are born of your karma, this form and mind. Then the Buddha also continued. You're not only born of your karma, you inherit everything, add to your karma. Then every moment, every instant, you are conditioned and supported by this karma. And you are what you are because of karma. So this form and mind, even though not you, but is connected to your existence. This form and mind that come with every segment of life that you take, well, you have to come to this existential world, or the conditioned world, or this universe. It may not be you, but it's connected to you. And summation of all these moments of life that this form and mind take will become your karmic nature. Then the summation of all your cultivation and perfection will be what they call safe under the spiritual nature. Yeah. They become your spiritual nature. So this is the secret of life that living beings don't understand, fail to understand. And because of that, they cannot live life. And because of that, they are deluded. Delusion is the main cause of suffering. So delusion comes from ignorance. When you don't understand truth, the Buddha says you have ignorance. Ignorance of the truth that manifests clearly to those who are awakened or enlightened, who can see. But to those who are deluded, ignorant, they can't see. That's why they attach, they cling, they grasp. We are self-delusion. They believe this form and mind is real. They believe this form and mind is what they are. So whatever that this form and mind feel and think, conceptualized through views and opinion, through its own concept of life, ideas, all this will bring about misery, suffering. But end of the day, the universal characteristics of impermanence will manifest. And when it manifests, things will continuously cease to be. And things are constantly in a state of flux, ever changing. So no matter what you try to own, try to cling on to, possess, and hold on to, ultimately, it will separate from you. Even your own form and mind has its own limitation. Before other phenomena or things that you think you own separate from you, your own form and mind may separate first. Then when your own form and mind separate, your identity erased, you are gone, no more. So wherein self, wherein wealth, wherein sun, The Buddha said, this only the fools lament, the foolish people, the foolish one lament. For that very body also don't belong to him. So wherein sun, wherein wealth, wherein all these properties and all these things. If you have this understanding, born of your own self-realization, while using your own form and mind or segmented form and mind to cultivate, then you can realize an enlightenment or awakening that is connected to your nature. And because it's connected to your nature, this form and mind that is connected to it will have the understanding. And because of that, it will no longer suffer, because it will not be deceived or deluded by the phenomenal world anymore. Yeah. So this is what the teaching is all about. Enlightenment in the here and the now, through understanding his teaching, awakening to his teaching is possible. And with that, you will understand clearly what life is all about. Who are you? What are you? Then you can get to live the noble life of an enlightened being. Then you can live life to the fullest. You can enjoy and experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Then life take another turn, become very meaningful, become very rich and wealthy. In the sense that the understanding is so beautiful, it can allow you to experience and develop all sorts of understanding. And you can get to experience all this great beauty and wonders of life. Every moment, every instant is so beautiful. Then you get to understand what mind is, consciousness is. And you can understand many, many things, even technical things. It's not difficult. When you have this clarity of mind, this understanding, whatever you set your mind on, you can understand very easily and very fast too. So this is how the teaching is unique. That's why the opening statement here, happy in this world is non-attachment. Okay, then we go on. In the memorable afternoon immediately preceding the morn of his enlightenment, as the Bodhisattva was seated under the Ajapala Bayan tree in close proximity to the Bodhi tree, a generous lady named Sujata unexpectedly offered him some milk rice, some rich milk rice, specially prepared by her with great care. This substantial meal he ate. And after his enlightenment, the Buddha fasted for 7 weeks and spent a quiet time in deep contemplation under the Bodhi tree and in his neighborhood. So this one is recorded in the Tipitaka. The first 7 weeks after his enlightenment, what did the Buddha do? First week, throughout the first week, the Buddha sat underneath the Bodhi tree in one posture, experiencing the bliss of emancipation. In bracket, it's called Vimutti Sukha. The Pali word Vimutti is very meaningful. How many of you understand this word? I asked the other way. How many of you don't understand this word? Two only. Then no need to explain. I asked the rest to explain. What is vimutti? Vimutti. Panya vimutti. What is vimutti? Most of you don't study Pali. Haven't heard of Pali or so. The other one is Cheto Vimutti. Okay, since most of you don't understand I think I have to explain. Vimutti means liberation. Liberation. Liberation from what? Huh? Liberation from what? What is liberation? Huh? You don't go and liberate the prisoner. No, no, no. You liberate your mind from what? Ah, bondage. From delusion, ignorance. That's why the Buddha used this word, vimutti. Vimutti. Vimutti means liberation. So in the teaching, there are two instances of liberation. The Buddha said first type, he called it Panya Vimutti. You know what is Panya? What is Panya? Huh? What is Panya? Ah, wisdom. So liberation via wisdom. So this one, a lot of this, what they call Theravada Buddhists, they call this Vipassana enlightenment. Or they call it the those who gain liberation via wisdom. So they just do Vipassana, they say. Then they insight into the universal characteristics of phenomena, impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. Then they become enlightened. Then there is a second type. They call Cetto Vimutti. So this one, Cetto means they become enlightened via cultivating concentration of mind. So this one is concentration of mind. But what they fail to understand is within the commentary and all this, what they call Buddhist scripture, they say the Buddha mentioned there are two ways to get liberation. So they say if you do concentration, you also can get liberation. What is your understanding? This one, the meaning is very, very deep, you know. But they all don't understand. The first interpretation is Cetto Vimutti means if I do concentration meditation, I can also gain liberation. What is your understanding? Yeah? Can we discuss this? Just throw out your idea based on what you know now. Don't be influenced by what I tell you. During the Buddha's time, he also did concentration first, isn't it? Correct? No? He also did all the jhana. Then that time, a lot of Hindu meditation at that time is all on concentration, jhana, thought based. That's why even if you do jhana, you have to understand what the Buddha went through. He spent 6 years, you know, he reached the pinnacle of it, you know, equal to the last two greatest teachers, and yet he is not enlightened. So do you know what happened or not? If you just do concentration of mind alone, the wisdom cannot arise. That's why finally there is no awakening. So this one, all the defilement or what they call latent tendency, they are all suppressed, not rooted out. So what you need to do is you have to come out of this concentration of mind, release it back to normal awareness. Then from there, develop the four foundation of mindfulness to develop awakening. Yeah. So that one will lead to wisdom, insight. That's why it is still vipassana, insight into the universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state or non-self. So whichever way you take, whether you go direct wisdom way or you go through concentration of mind, absorption of mind, finally you need to come out of it to develop wisdom to free. So the real liberation of mind is actually Panya Vimutti, the first one. Because this second one, when you approach it, just like what the Buddha did and many of his disciples, they have to come out of it, develop the free mind to cultivate the daily mindfulness, the four foundation of mindfulness, leading to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, or accumulating into the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Then only enlightenment or awakening in the here and the now become possible. Okay? Can follow? Any question regarding this? Vimutti. Is the word clear now? Huh? So what is the Pali word that they wrote there? Experiencing what? The Buddha for the first week. Experiencing what? Vimutti. Sukha. What is sukha? Huh? Sukha is joy, isn't it? Happiness, isn't it? Understand? So what did the Buddha do the first week? Emancipation. Bliss of emancipation. So this word sukha is one of the five jhanic factors. First two is vitaka and vichara, applied thought and sustained thought. Then where there is no thinking, no movement of thought, even in the concentration state, you will experience pity. Pity is just a spiritual calmness, spiritual bliss or rupture. Sorry, not bliss, spiritual rupture. Calmness of mind. Very peaceful mind. Then after that, you continue to relax into it and silent. Then you experience this sukha or blissfulness, really blissful. So here, you have to be careful with the word they use. Because based on their understanding, they use this word. When he say experiencing the bliss of emancipation, means he actually realized Nibbana. Yeah? Then he was in that state of cessation. Then you can experience what they call Nibbana Paramang Sukhang. So the Buddha said Nibbana is the highest peace. But he used the word Sukhang, means bliss. It's really a very beautiful state. Because when you enter cessation, realize Nibbana, there is no mind inside there, understand? Then who is experiencing the bliss? Nobody is experiencing the bliss. What they fail to understand is what the Buddha meant is when you realize enlightenment, when you realize Nibbana, when the mind go into cessation of form and mind, this is really supreme bliss. Why? Because the mind that does not cease has a lot of agitation and suffering. Even the very fine mind, towards the very end, when you are very tranquil, very still, very peaceful, very serene, that mind is still, comparatively to Nibbana, a lot of things inside there. It's not the supreme bliss. That's why in comparison, when Nibbana has been realized by the form and mind that realizes it doesn't experience it. That's why Nibbana cannot be experienced. It has to be realized. There is a cessation, complete cessation. Even the pure awareness, pure consciousness, everything ceases. You cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. There is nothing at all. But the form and mind that go through that will understand what that thing is. Is really the highest supreme bliss. Because compared to the citta, no matter how pure that mind is, how serene and how tranquil and still that mind is, it is still nowhere compared to that cessation. So in comparison, the Buddha said, Nibbana paramang sukhang. That's why he said he experienced the supreme bliss of emancipation, vimutti, sukhang, or sukha. Yeah. So if you have not had that understanding or realization, you cannot understand what he went through. Okay? So this is just for your info. Then the next one is, after that 7 day had lapsed, the Buddha emerged from the state. You see, he used the state of concentration. It's wrong. It's not a state. Emerged from that cessation. And the way it emerged or arise, come out, you cannot understand. Unless that form of mind who has gone through it will understand. This form of mind can still remember. Because when it happens, I think about 27 or 28 years ago, when it emerged, all of a sudden, like you are completely born again. It's just like the form of mind completely ceases, no more. Then I remember from the nature, the first thing that come out is the pure consciousness. And the pure consciousness separate into three, straight away more. The first one straight away zoom to the brain. Then like a dynamo, activate it again. Then it starts to move again, zoom. Oh God, no sound. Huh? Then the other one activate the heart. The other one activate the tan tien. Then this whole form and mind animate into a human being. Then it regain consciousness. Then it regains its activity. Yeah. But everything is so clear. That's how you come to know that there is no being inside there. There is nothing inside there. He know you, he know me. It's all dependent, originating, condition arising. Cause of phenomena. Not what you think. That's why you have not developed the ability to go through that cessation. It's not an experience. You cannot experience Nibbana. Nibbana need to be realized by the form of mind that goes through it. Then what the Buddha realizes, you read on, you will know. And in the first watch of the night, thoroughly reflecting on dependent origination or arising, the direct order and the reverse order. Because you will see how all this happen, how it arise and how it cease when you go into that cessation. So this paticca samuppada in its direct order is thus, when this cause exists, this effect is. with the arising of this cause, this effect arise. Actually, the Pali term is different. I remember last time Ramananda mentioned it on a few occasions. He said, the Buddha mentioned, imastin sati idang hoti. Imas mean asati idang arhoti. That one is very deep in meaning. Imas means sati, means when this arise, that arise. That's why imas means sati idang hoti. Imas means asati, means when this ceases, that ceases. Can you understand the meaning? I better write it down, otherwise you sure catch no ball. Anybody understand? Put up the hand and go and describe. Try, give it a try. No. This is different. Pusam Pumya is to realize enlightenment. No arising, no ceasing. But this one is within the conditioned world. Okay, I write this. Then you try to explain to me. Because if I write it down, then you understand. When this arises, because without word, I think you all cannot catch it. That arise. When this ceases, that ceases. You have meditated. The moment you hear this, you will awaken. Do you understand? And now you try. Give it a try. If you have really meditated and understood what the Buddha's teaching is, the moment he says this, you will have a lot of joy. You will understand and you will awaken. Yeah. It's just like Asaji, you remember? What did Asaji told Sariputta when he met him? What did Venerable Asaji, yes, try, use the mic, very good. Sadhu. Pass to Yun Chan. Never mind lah, Yun Chan, you say it.
Whatever.
Push it all the way up. Okay, ready.
Whatever is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease.
Oh, slightly different. That one is later on. Asaji told Venerable Sariputta, he said, in this conditioned world, he said, whatever that is of the nature to arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Understand not? That one is very important. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Okay? We write that down. In red. No. Pusu. Whatever that arise, there are causes and condition behind. And condition behind. And this causes and condition my teacher or the Buddha explain. The moment Asaji said this, you know what happened to Sariputta? Huh? What happened to him? Huh? What happened to Sariputta? He realized the first stage of sinhood straight away. Now it's your turn. Really? Well, you understand. Oh, sorry, whatever. Whatever that arises. I miss out the word. Whatever. That arises. There are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, my teacher has said. How come he became a sotapan straight away when he hear this? How does a person, a former mind, realize sotapan? The first stage of sinhood. He severed the first three fetters. And the first one is the most important. What did he sever? Sakkaya ditti, very good. And what is that? Self-delusion, not non-self. Non-self is a concept. Sakkaya ditti is self-delusion. You have this delusion that believe you are real. You are self. You are what you are. That's why you think this person is you. There's a personality. There's an ego. There's an atta, I. Me. That's why I can have craving, desire to own things. That's why the me, the I. This is self-delusion. And because you believe you exist, that's why craving can arise. Selfishness can arise. Desire can arise. Emotion can arise. Fear can arise. All come from Sakkaya Ditti. And this is the basic factor. Sakkaya Ditti. And this is very powerful, self-delusion. And this is the one that trapped living being in samsara. This is the one that conditioned grasping, clinging, attachment, craving. And that is the cause of suffering. So how did Sariputta immediately when he heard this, he was able to sever this self-delusion? The hint is already so, Mimi used to say what? Wa kung zai wa. Already chut chong already. You better focus on this to understand it. When you understand this truth which the Buddha has spoken and repeated by Venerable Asaji, you will awaken. What is the meaning of whatever that arises? There are, the word are missing. Luckily we read again. There are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, my teacher, the Buddha, had explained. He straight away realized sotapanna. And you should, by the same order, realize it. Really? The first statement is very important. The second statement involves another thing. But the first statement already very clear. What does it mean? Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Of course, karma is one of them. But karma won't let you understand sakkayaditti. Karma means that form of mind has karma. That form of mind is subject to karma. That's why you are born or you have to eat condition and so forth. So the second part here, which Asaji say, and these causes and conditions, my teacher, the Buddha, had explained, means he has explained that whatever that is the cause is karma. Understand? Because you are born of it, heir to it, condition is supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. So what is important is you have to ask, whatever that arise means your own form and mind. Understand? How did it arise? How did your form and mind arise? Forget about what I teach you, chemically conditioned, because you repeat my thing. That's why you assume you never heard from me. Just this statement, you can realize what I tell you. Because you cannot know that there is law of karma. You cannot know that your form and mind come from karma. But what you know is the Buddha tell you whatever that arise, which include all phenomena, especially your own form and mind, there are causes and conditions behind. You have to meditate to understand what are the causes and conditions behind your arising. That's why when you are silent, aware, you can see this form and mind, how it arises and it passes away, the dependent origination, everything, the dwelling, everything will be understood. Then you realize there is no body inside there. Understand? Only consciousness and its content and the whole of the movement, like the physics experiment. And it's so clear, which means you are not a permanent, because whatever that arises, including your form and mind, there are causes and conditions. And when these causes and conditions change, it will change. Understand? That's why Sariputta knew, since birth until now, it keep on evolving, keep on changing. The causes and conditions that sustain it is different. And because he meditated before in the past, that's why straight away he awakened that this fellow is not him. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can hold on to, cling on to, and say, this is me, this is I. That's why he straight away realized that understanding, which makes him a sotapanna. That's why the form and mind straight away realize that sotapannaship. And then the second part is when Asaji took him to the Buddha explained the five daily contemplation, the last one. All living beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. That's how you induce that this form and mind is karmically conditioned out. Well, you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are because of it. You meditate, you can know. Because this form and mind, when young, died before, came out. That's why it know all this. Then later on, when this understanding came through the meditation, it witnessed all these things that the Buddha taught. That's why I told you all, if at that time I had heard this, I would, this form of mind, this life would have also awakened. Yeah. Because it is so clear. That's why the words of the enlightened one, if you really, really contemplate, reflect, and meditate into it, you will awaken. Then coming back to this one, that he realized, it must mean sati idang hoti. When this arise, that arise. What does it mean? What does it mean? When this arise, that arise. Means dependent on this, then only that one arise. You understand? Cause and effect, but dependent originating. Understand now? Because it must mean sati idang hoti. When this arise, that arise. When the condition is like that, things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise. Do you understand? But when this ceases, that which follows also will cease. Because it's dependent originating. So that's why for cessation to happen, the cause must cease. So the cause of suffering is what? What is the cause of suffering? Attachment is also craving, isn't it? When you crave, you attach, isn't it? Positive, negative, isn't it? So that cause is dependent on what? Dependent on what? I already explained. Self-delusion, because you got this self-delusion, that's why you attack, you think you exist, understand or not? The personality, the ego. That's why you think this one can own thing, can have thing. That's why you have craving, you have attachment, you have desire, you have lust. All this arise because of self-delusion. So dependent on self-delusion, which is born of ignorance, arises attachment, craving, grasping, which is the cause of suffering. So if you want to end suffering, what must you do? You don't go and cut craving, no. Your craving cannot be cut without wisdom, no. Understand, no? That's why you must realize through Panya Vimuti, wisdom that liberates the mind. When wisdom liberates the mind, there is no more ignorance. That's why with the cessation of ignorance, what happened? Huh? Self-delusion ceases. Understand now? When self-delusion ceases, attachment, craving ceases. That's how the dependent origination change ceases. That's why the first arising cycle is from ignorance. Then the reverse cessation cycle, ignorance must end. That's why straight away from this, you will understand his teaching. That's why he said, when this arise, that arise, he told the monk. Imas means sati, idang horti. Imas means asati, idang arhoti. How can I remember this Pali word? I don't know them. It's alien to me. But the first time I heard it, very funny, you know. Inside, like, wow, very clear, you know. A lot of joy inside there, you know. Like, this is something that the nature has understood before. And straight away, I can explain all this, you know. Even Ramana mentioned he didn't explain. He just used the Pali word. And I was listening there. I heard it two times. First time, I already understood what the thing is. That's why there was so much joy. So now I repeat. Imas means sati, idang hoti. Imas mean asati, idang arhoti. The meaning is, when this arise, what happened? Huh? You better recite it loud, otherwise it won't go in. Understand? When this, when this ceases, that, you have to understand, no, not just parent. No. So when this arise, that arise, means when the form and mind arise through ignorance, self-delusion arise. You understand? And because of self-delusion, grasping, clinging, attachment arise. And this is the cause of suffering. So if you know this, how do you reverse all this? The next sentence teaches you. When this ceases, that ceases. So which must you cease? You don't go and cease craving or attachment. No. But that one got a cause behind. Understand? Dependent on self-delusion, it arrives. So you have to go backward to cease self-delusion. And behind self-delusion is the big ignorance. That's why you have to awaken through the insight into the universal characteristics of impermanence. Suffering state, empty nature or non-self nature. That's why the universal characteristics of all phenomena, you must see them. And what the Buddha is interested in is explaining to you impermanence. That's why he said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has already explained. So what you need to do in the meditation is to investigate into this. What are the causes and conditions behind everything that happened in life? Of course, initially, it's your own form of mind. Self-knowledge. That's why Krishnamurti also knows it's self-knowledge through awareness in relationship. And you see how ignorant, delusion stir your mind. Because of ignorance, delusion, you develop wrong view, attachment, clinging, grasping, all the evils, envy, jealousy, anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, phobia. All these arise, and they are from the evil root. So dependent on ignorance, it conditions self-delusion, and dependent on self-delusion, you will see in the dependent origination chain, the dwelling, the paticca-samuppada. That's why when you meditate, you're silent, you will see all this arising and passing away. Cause and effect, cause and effect. Then you will have a lot of joy because the Buddha's teaching is so simple and yet so clear, so beautiful, so penetrative. Can follow, huh? Don't worry, don't try to remember where it's recorded. Because you can trust Huirong. Huirong very good. So far never miss. Still got light. Sometimes when the battery run out, but Huirong very good. Never before happened to her recording because she makes sure the battery is charged or the battery is new. Okay, any question on this? Yes. Pass the mic. Wait, pass the mic. Pass the mic. This one you have to at home, nobody around, say it out loud. Then only you go in. Otherwise, you won't go in, I tell you.
Matthew, can you repeat just now what you said again? When the form and mind arise through self-delusion, then second line.
When form and mind arise through self-delusion, what happened? Yeah? What happened? Because there is self-delusion, you will believe this is you there. This is real there. Then, you cling on to this fellow, like this one you call Brother Teo. Okay? Your one, we call Sister Mei Xiang. Yeah? Yeah. You think it's you or not? Oh, you nod your head. So Mei Xiang is her. So what you do? Mei Xiang wants to own thing, have thing, possess thing. You want to own who? Your hubby. Wai Hong. You must not stare at girl. You must not play a fool. You must only love me. Only me. Of course you are not like that. I understand you are more wise. You are not so possessive. But what happens when that entity, self-delusion take over? Self-delusion take over. It distorts your understanding because you believe this is me. Then what happens is whatever that is threatening this so-called Mei Xiang, it will affect you emotionally, mentally, your life, happy or miserable, depend on it. Understand? And this is what self-delusion is all about. If it's not me, if I understand that this is karmically conditioned out a vehicle and a tool for me to come to this world to live life, what will happen to you? To your understanding? It will transform you completely, isn't it? I have this understanding. This fellow, the form of mind, is not me. But karmically conditioned out a tool and a vehicle for me to come to this world to live life, to experience life to the fullest. Then I only have to understand, like the car you drive. The car you drive doesn't mean the car is you, understand or not? You can see the analogy or not? It's like your consciousness trapped inside. Consciousness is the driver. Instruct this form of mind to do things, understand or not? Walk, sit, jump, cry, or it will tell you, hate that person. Or it will give you a lot of idea, views and opinion. And with this conditioning, views, opinion, you react to life. You stir your mind and become afflicted. And this is what is happening to the world. When you don't have understanding, you will attach, you will cling. And through self-delusion, you will live life selfishly. As I just now, the text say, it is through selfishness. And selfishness comes from self-delusion. Because without that concept or idea of a self, there is no possessiveness. You will not try to own things, have things, or possess things. But you know all these are dependent originating. Dependent originating means what? God condition, it will come to you. Understand or not? You understand that point or not? Like money. You cannot crave for it. Understand or not? You can work towards it. Yeah, there are causes and conditions for it to arise. And society has its law for it to be legal. Otherwise, illegal, you get into trouble. That's why you have to work towards it. There are causes and conditions for it to arise. So you don't have to fight or through vicious means working against the law of karma to get it. Then the fruition of it will make you miserable. You have to pay for it. That's why this is the nature's law. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. So like law of karma, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. These are cause and effect. These are nature's law that you have to understand. And when the Buddha said this, it refers to your form and mind. The form and mind is subject to law of karma. That is the only difference. It is not you, but it is subject to the law of karma. That's why you cannot simply use it to abuse other people, to create negativity or karma, because it will hit back. Because this form and mind, even though not you, is part of the segmented karmic nature. The summation of all this become your karmic nature. So if you don't take care of this form and mind, don't take care of karma, you become heedless and let it do what it like. Your karmic nature will fall in future when the form and mind have to come, not choose to come. Then the fruition of it will give rise to suffering, delusion, misery, and all this. But if you take care of the form and mind with this understanding, this wisdom, you don't have to worry about it getting sick, getting old and die, like the car. Use it. Understand or not? Don't become deluded. Traffic light, red light also want to rush. Understand or not? Then get yourself in trouble. Then the speed limit never observe. Then never heedful. Never develop soberness. You get yourself drunk, intoxicated, or through certain type of excitement and all those things. Then you become wild. Then what happened? Your car will get into trouble, understand? Huh? It's just like when you are unhappy, what you do? You go and drink. You go and drown yourself. Drunk yourself. And yet that sorrow is still there. Because you think by taking intoxicant, you get drunk, you can forget about your problem. But the problem never leaves you. So it's just like there is a Mandarin song, Ku Jiu Man Pei. What they call bitter beer, full glass. So when you have problem, you go and drink and create so much suffering for yourself. So this is not understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence. You cannot do that. The form and mind has its own reality, even though it's not you. So to reverse this self-delusion, you have to meditate into it and awaken to what the Buddha said. This is just a statement of truth, no? When this arises, that arises. When this ceases, that ceases. You have to make use of this understanding and observe it through daily mindfulness in life, whether this is true or not. Then when you are in the meditative state, you have to witness and see the whole of the form and mind arising and passing away in this manner. Then only this understanding crystallize. You can awaken to this truth. Then you realize everything is just dependent originating, condition arising. Nothing is a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. No such thing. When you realize that this is condition arising, your form and mind, dependent originating, then why are you fighting for, competing with everybody, trying to own so much thing? This is delusion. Why can't you just have the understanding to use it to live life? To experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. So choose to be happy. So learn to use this mind and this physical body appropriately, just like the car. Maintain it, take care of it. But don't attach to it, understand? Don't worry about it when people scratch or when he had an accident, understand? Because you are not careful, that's why he had an accident. But car easy, you know. Car damage, maybe your heart pain because of your pocket, understand? But when your physical body get into trouble, it's not only your pocket drain, no. You feel the suffering, the injury, understand? Because this physical body, the consciousness that is trapped inside, the form and mind, is very fragile. Very, very vulnerable. Easily dispersed. They call it dead. Dead. Gone. That's why when you understand all this, you will know what to do. You will know how to take care of all this. Then especially the law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. Then you will never go against this nature's law of karma. You will follow or heed the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil to good and purify your mind so that you can liberate your mind and stand above all this so that you know how to live life through this beautiful understanding that he has taught you. That's why I saw at the very beginning, that's why in my seminar paper in Bangkok, I summarized all of the Buddha's teaching. It's like the secret of life. The essence of his teaching, even though the Four Noble Truths. But it summarized to you all of life, the whole of life, mundane and supramundane. And it's like the secret of life. When you understand this Four Noble Truths, you understand life. You understand who you are, what you are. You know how to live life. And all these are related, interconnected, so beautifully arranged in the teaching. But the sad thing is, the Theravada Sutta or the teaching so far, they cannot link all this. They are teaching the essential Dhamma like they are all separate from each other. There is hardly any book that can link all this together and can explain it to you in real life term, where you can understand as an individual human being living life in this world. Okay? So, now you understand. So, from there, you expand on it. Then from there, you realize from sakkāditti, everything arises, leading to suffering, attachment, clinging. Then what am I doing? If I don't reverse this, my life will be in trouble. Understand? Then how to reverse? The Buddha's second statement. The first one is when that arises, when this arises, those things all arise. Understand? Leading to suffering. But the second statement is when this ceases, all this ceases. There is the answer. Understand? That's why you trace back. How can I cease craving, attachment, clinging, grasping? I have to cease sakkāditti. How can I cease sakkāditti? I have to understand his teaching. When this arises, that arises. So all these are dependent originating, condition arising. Hence, impermanent. Where everything is in a state of flux. When condition change, things change. That's why last time I used to share with you all how to see the three characteristics. Whatever that arise in this universe, whatever phenomena, is of the nature to arise when the causes and condition is there. Understand? Like my voice. As long as I speak, you can hear the hearing consciousness, isn't it? Can you hear? If you can hear, means to you, my voice exists or not? Exists or not? Exists, isn't it? If I don't speak, what happened? No more hearing consciousness. Then my voice, you say, don't exist. But you never say die. No? You understand? Yeah? But the form and mind, when this separate, you say, I die. But the voice, the vibration that is dependent originating, if I don't speak through the mind, you don't have a hearing that is functioning. Just like the physics experiment, upon contact, the light bulb light up, you become conscious of hearing. Understand? So this is dependent originating. As long as the three condition, your ear functioning, I continue to speak with this vibration. Upon contact, hearing consciousness will arise. So when this condition arises, hearing consciousness arises. Understand? Exists. Real. But any of the three conditions cease, hearing consciousness cease. Do you understand? That's why everything is dependent originating. That's why I used to tell you accord and flow means what? Got condition. Do. No condition, let it be. Understand? No condition means nothing can happen. Like their consciousness. That's why I say, as long as the supporting condition continue to be there, like I continue to speak, your ear continue to function, this vibration will continue to sustain itself. That's why it's arising, sustaining, and passing away, dependent on condition. When I cease speaking, the vibration is gone. It ceases. And this is what the Buddha is trying to teach you. No reality. Everything is just dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not what you think. And this is applicable to all phenomena. That's why it's called a universal characteristic. You can follow. That's why cultivation is not what you think. You need to contemplate into all this until very, very clear. Unless you have it from your past, like winning, straight away you hear awaken already. Then after that can teach people already. But for most people, I realize you have to contemplate, reflect, and put in the constant cultivation, means ever mindful. The constantly meditative and ever mindful, you will awaken. That is what heedfulness is all about. Okay? What's the time now? Ayo, 10 minutes left. We better move a bit more. I haven't even finished the first page of chapter 4. Okay. So, we come to the direct order. Okay. Okay, the English word that they use up there, the page 47, is not correct. The correct one is on the whiteboard that I share with you. When this arises, that arises. Not when this cause exists, this effect is. So it is written in a very difficult to understand manner. Then with the arising of this cause, this effect arises. The actual one is what I wrote on the board. The Pali one, imas mean sati idang hoti, imas mean asati idang arhoti. When this arises, that arises. When this ceases, that ceases. And there is another very penetrative non-duality meaning behind, which I have explained before in the retreat. Do you know the penetrative meaning or not? This is what Lao Tzu's teaching is all about, you know, yin and yang. You understand? When this arise, that arise, what does it mean? This is what Shen Xiu failed to understand. No? You remember his poem? Polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. Remember? What is dust? Ah, defilement. Who created it? Ah, Shen Xiu created it. So now we use this teaching. That's why this teaching is very powerful. It can teach you a lot of things. So when this arise, that arise. What does it mean? According to Shen Xiu, he said got defilement. When the word defilement arise, which he create, what happened? The other side, the opposite will arise, understand or not? Non-defilement, wholesomeness, goodness. So this duality come from mind. Understand? You created it. When you say this is good, whatever that is not good is the other side, isn't it? Because this is yin and yang, duality. You understand? So don't create. Think it's just the way it is. No right, no wrong. When you say this is right, you never ask right according to who. You follow? Right according to you. Because your convention is like that. Your conditioning is like, your religion is like that. Take for example. To a Buddhist, God don't exist. Apart from devas, of course. The supreme God don't exist. The Christians say God exists. Only God. Nothing else. So right according to who? Relative truth. Right according to the individual. The truth of it is the middle way, which is the Buddha's teaching, sitting as they are, there is no right, no wrong. He is just the way he is. A Christian will believe God exists. Understand? A Buddhist will not believe God exists. That's it. No right, no wrong. They are just the way they are. This is the penetrative understanding. That's why Huining knew. Originally, there was nothing. Where can the dust alight? If you don't create one side, when this ceases, means what? When you don't create defilement, that side to be pure ceases. Then you don't have to meditate to become what they call polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. Every day, try to be mindful so that no dust can alight. You are busy fighting the dust that you create. In truth, there is none. That's why the direct seeing see clearly. Nothing. Originally, there was nothing. Before you create, is there anything? The true mind, before it arise and stir, is there anything? That's why to realize the true mind, you don't have to do anything. But this was the original state. If you don't have delusion, you don't go and stir your mind through wrong view, through conditioning, through delusion, through all the conditioning, it will be peaceful. It will be stillness. It will be the pure, true nature, your true mind. Why can't you see all this? That true mind is very important. The true mind doesn't have all this. This is for the conditioned world, mundane mind. Do you understand? The mundane mind create and give meaning. Then argue, fight, want to be right. This is what attachment is all about. Clinging, craving is all about. This is delusion. Okay? Yeah. That's why don't underestimate this teaching. This can be applied to everything. Every time you put back into this, then you will understand. Yeah. Whatever you realize, you come back and check. That's why with this, the understanding becomes different, very penetrative. It's just like Newton's law, last time physics. Before Newton come out with that law, very simple, to every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. Then you can say, who doesn't know this? Understand? But do you know how to apply this? That is the difference. Newton created three laws after that. The law of motion. That's why physics come about because of Newton. Then gravity, because the apple dropped on his head. How many times the bird shit dropped on your head? Did you awaken like Newton? On your car and all those things. That's why the wise one that has the past and the one that don't have is very different. Understand? They say like a candle. Lap chok ngao pei tang long, sorry. Ngao pei tang long. Dim le dim hui dim hum chok. No matter how you try to light, it never get lighted. Because it's made of ngao pei. So, me sang lao. Want to share your joke? Oh, okay. We try to finish off page 47. Then we end. So you see, here is the teaching. The Buddha realized, dependent on ignorance, which is avijja, arises what? Sankara. But what is the English translation here? Moral and immoral conditioning activity. He is trying to tell you arises karmic volition. Understand? That's why he say immoral and moral conditioning activity. And they use the Pali word sankhara. They got five or six English equivalent words to explain it. But here, they purposely choose karmic volition. Do you know why they choose karmic volition? Because they cannot explain this dependent origination teaching that the Buddha teach, which is every moment, every instant, instantaneous, not over three lifetimes. That's why the next one, the third link, he say, dependent on relinking consciousness. Arises namarupa, form and mind. Because they don't know how to explain all this. You don't need all this type of over three period of lifetime explanation, which I explained to you all many times, even in the retreat. What is happening is, dependent on ignorance, the mind, which don't have the understanding of truth, there is ignorance as well. So when you don't understand something, what do you do? What do you do? Wanting to know? Wanting to understand? What you do? The teacher asks you what? Go back and think about it. You also will think about it, isn't it? Sankara is thinking. So why you want to make it karmic volition alone? Because thinking, if you have negative evil root, then it becomes negative karma. But thinking has not become transgression, understand? So dependent on ignorance, because you don't understand, wanting to know, wanting to experience, or wanting to understand, you think. It's very normal. But they fail to understand the mind is an organ, understand not? When the mind is an organ, when you think, what do? You make contact with the mind, understand not? Because thinking is contact. So when you make contact with the mind, what happens? Like the physical experiment. Upon contact, consciousness arises. So that is what mind consciousness is all about. So avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam. The mental consciousness. No need to go and have karmic volition, then rebirth consciousness. Why are you wasting time doing all this without understanding? Because they got no other way of understanding it. Because they didn't meditate. They didn't see this happening in the mind. That's why this one is not understood. The book until today. Timing to stop. Okay, I finish this, then we stop. Then he say, dependent on this rebirth consciousness or relinking consciousness, arise the form and mind. That's why he don't understand what this form and mind is. He thought it's a human being. Understand? So dependent on this birth, of the human being, you say, there is this sixth sense basis. What he failed to understand is the dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada, that the Buddha teaches, is not like that. It's exactly like what I explained to you. Dependent or ignorant, you go and think, you create mental contact. That upon contact, mental consciousness come about. So this mental consciousness, which is vijnana, is just the pure consciousness without its content. You understand? Then when through your views and opinion, you input your content, then it becomes the five aggregate of form and mind. The second aspect of the five aggregate, the mental five aggregate. That is the meaning. They don't understand. Where they don't meditate the way it's supposed to be. That's why they cannot see this happening in the mind. And the Buddha say, for this mental consciousness and its content to arise, there must be sense basis. Otherwise, it cannot arise. You understand? So, through deduction, he realized there is sense basis. And because of sense basis, if you silence your mind with awareness, you can see the moment of contact. Even the moment of hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or seeing, the moment of contact is very clear. That's why I used to share with you, when you have mindfulness, really, really stabilize. Develop until very stable, until sati become power. No longer just spiritual faculty. It's spiritual powers. So during that time, you can be at the moment of contact, the moment of perception, the moment of consciousness, the moment of mental activity. It can just stay there. I used to give this example, you stay there, but no sound. Your awareness just stay there. At the moment of contact, it cannot move. There is no movement. That's what I knew, no craving. Craving is only there when you stir your mind and react. When you don't want to accept the reality of the moment. That's why you have craving, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. That's why every moment of sense or consciousness, you create the duality, or they call it the sensual desire and ill will, the first two of the five mental hindrances. That's why throughout the day, living beings who are heedless, they create mental hindrance. And this will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So how can you have peace? How can you have clarity of mind? And without peace, without clarity of mind, how can you understand things? How can you see things as they are? How can you meditate? You understand? That's why all these people, I don't know what happened to the teaching over all these years. It has become like that. Taught differently. Commentary explained differently. And nobody dared to question. Except a few monks who are very good. Ajahn Buddhadasa commented. He disagreed with this also. But apart from him, I haven't heard of any other monks. Because these are authority within the Tipitaka, within the Theravada tradition. Then after that, of course, the rest arise. Upon contact, feeling arise. But the actual understanding is different. When you meditate, upon contact, not only feeling, a lot of things happen inside there. Simultaneously, the awareness is aware of all this movement. That's why I knew upon contact, feeling arise, then you cannot cut a feeling. If you don't have wisdom, you only saw manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Feeling will condition craving. Straight away, you will grasp, you will cling, you will attach, you will stir, you will react. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. You don't have equanimity of mind. Then if you are not careful, when feeling has been conditioned into craving, you somehow nghe lai, cắt ngắn lìa, one year, become grasping. That's why craving condition, grasping. Grasping condition what? Becoming means what? You become the anger. Then you take birth means transgression. You acted out of it. You are born into that monster. Our friend Mimi-san understands, smile. See? people with the past, with the understanding, when they understand, they are different. They just smile. That's it. Finish. Yeah. Then next time you heard Brother Teo say like that, next time you also smile. But your smile, people can see on the one that has the understanding and the one that don't have the understanding is two different types of smile. It's just like when somebody not sincere, very cunning, smile to you. You know one, isn't it? Okay lah, you are right lah. Okay, we better end. I think we just stop at 47. Next Tuesday, we will go through it again. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you go back. Listen to the sharing again. Then try to develop your own. Then from next Tuesday onward, I think you all should participate more actively. Understand? Don't worry about making wrong answer or comment. It's not about right and wrong. It's about giving rise to condition for Dhamma to flow and for you to learn. Because like I said, if you don't express it, you cannot understand. If you can express it, that is the beginning of understanding. Understand? Otherwise, it remains as not sure. Understand? Knowledge inside. But when you can express it out, first time you make mistake, no problem. But as you do it, you will go back and reflect, contemplate. Then you will learn. Then you will straighten your view more. Then when you express it the next time, you become better. Okay. Let us do the sharing of merits, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.